Hey everyone, I'm Celia, and I'm going to talk to you today about romance novels. And you may be thinking, romance, that's not really geeky, that's kind of mainstream. But let me tell you, how I experience romance, it's very geeky. I love romance. I love romance novels, I love reading them, I love writing them, and I love talking about them. And I think that's the great thing about them, is that they're meant to be shared. Like, what is more fun than going into the library or to a bookstore, pulling a paperback off the shelf, and reading the back cover out loud to your friends and just giggling about it until somebody tells you to shut up? And that's one of my favorite things to do. It's a great party trick or a great thing at slumber parties specifically. After your parents have gone to bed, to like pull out the dirty books and read them under the covers to each other and just giggle about them. So tonight we're going to talk about some of the weird romances. And, first of all, I'm going to start out by just defining romance a little bit. It is a billion-dollar industry. There are a lot of them, a lot of get published every year, and a lot of people read them. And there's two main criteria for them. For a romance novel, that I like to follow. There's a lot of definitions, but these are the ones that I think are make the most sense to me. And the first is that it has to have an HEA or an HFN ending. And the HEA is happy ever after, happily ever after. And the HFN is happy for now. And so those are the ones that have to have a sequel that then has an HEA on it. And the other criteria is that it ends, the last thing to be resolved in the book is the romance plotline. So in all of these subgenres, the reason that they fall under romance is because the last thing to be resolved is a relationship. So when I'm talking about subgenres, like romance is the genre, and then it gets broken down based on a number of factors, the content, the plotline, the heat levels, like if it's spicy or steamy or erotica, and whether or not it's a standalone or a category romance. And by category romance, I mean the Harlequins or Avons or Entangled. There's a lot of category romances. So I will be bringing those up. To start out with, there's some that a lot of people know about. We've got our historical over here. I really enjoy that her leg is stretched out and resting on the wall here. I'm not sure everyone can see that, but it is. And then in the middle, we have our contemporary, Wall Banger, great book. I wouldn't recommend every book in my slideshow, but I will recommend that one. And then the last one, we have a paranormal, the demon possession book. And I mean, a lot of people know paranormal. It's the vampires and werewolves. And then there's some other common ones you might have heard of, such as Amish romances. Those are a big deal right now. They tend to be on the inspirational side. They don't tend to have a very high heat level, but that's not entirely true. I have a gay Amish romance book on my Kindle right now that is not clean, all right? It is a dirty book. And then in the middle, we have Highlander's Desire. Highlander books are another big thing. They all take place in Scotland. Everyone owns a castle. They all wear kilts. They all have plaid. They all have family crests. There's usually a ghost. It's great stuff. And then the last one, I love this title. There's a lot of great puns. Sealionaire. And this is a Navy SEAL, and he's a billionaire, which happens a lot, too. There's a lot of billionaires. And a lot of Navy SEALs. Everyone seems to be a Navy SEAL. You're not in the Navy unless you are a SEAL there. So those are some of the ones that, yeah, some people have heard of. Or the other ones, this is Fitzwilliam Darcy Rockstar. So that's like the rock and roll theme where the hero's usually a big star and then the heroine is some girl from his past or somebody he picks out while he's doing a concert and just like falls in love with her immediately. The middle one, Baby Doctor, there's definitely the medical romance. And usually there's also a surprise baby involved in it. Sometimes it's because the doctor is an OBGYN and he's delivering somebody's baby, but usually he's also like having a baby, but he didn't know about it. And they're usually twins or triplets, and no one knows about them until she's having the baby. And then the last one over here are cowboys. I love the cowboy ones. Westerns, big thing, but like cowboys aren't what you'd think of as Westerns, because like Westerns are pretty much a guy genre. The cowboys are not a guy genre. Like, look at this. The Trouble with Texas Cowboys. He's topless. So there's that. The cowboys also bring up an interesting genre, which, again, probably most people don't know is a thing, continues to be a thing, and is actually coming back. And that's the mail order bride genre. And not only that, but there are a lot of mail order bride ones, and there are a lot of different ones. So the two examples I have for you here, the vampire's mail order bride, got to capitalize on the paranormal as well as the mail order, or the cowboy's email order bride. For some reason, no one has written a fax order bride, and I feel like there was something missing there that we need to fix. There was actually, I met a group of writers one time, and they had put together a project, they called it, where they were releasing a mail order bride book every day for a month. They're all self-published romance authors, so they were able to do this. They released one from every state for the entire month of November a few years ago. It was hugely popular. They all made a ton of money off of it. And they had 30 mail order bride romances, one from each state. So you can look those up later. But they also tend to be a lot of category romances that involve mail order brides. And so I'm going to talk for a moment about one of my absolute favorite category romances, and that is Pregnesia. I found this book through a review that was written about it, and it was called The Best Pregnant Amnesia Book Ever Written. I actually read this book. Like, I had to get it, and I had to read it. In case you're wondering what the storyline is, she's pregnant. She gets amnesia. She doesn't remember how she got pregnant. And he's a former Navy SEAL. Yep. He now repurposes things. I don't know. He has his own business. And he is repurposing somebody's car, and he finds this passed out pregnant woman in the back. She doesn't remember who she is. She can't go to the police because she's got this some deep feeling that somebody's trying to kill her. And so he, of course, you know, military instincts kick in, and he's like, I gotta protect you and your unborn child. And so then this family turns up and is like, hey, she's part of our family. And he's like, okay, don't really want to let you go, but I will. And I'm not going to spoil it, but they may or may not be the people who are trying to kill her. And I also won't tell you if her amnesia ever goes away. So on the topic of category romances as well, most people don't know this, but in about 2007, 2008, Harlequin had a contract with NASCAR. And we got these. These are our NASCAR romances. They have some great puns on them. Speed bumps, checkered past, and speed dating. They tend to have pretty much the same plot line. I enjoy speed bumps because actually the heroine is the NASCAR star in that one. So that was pretty cool. But, you know, that usually doesn't happen on those. But, yeah, that's... Just wanted to let you know those existed. And from the title of my talk, I promised you some time-traveling Vikings. And I'm sure at some point in your life, you have heard of Fabio. He was the guy who is on all the romance covers, the old ones. He has the long hair, he's shirtless, he's buff. He's like holding these women like they're twigs and they're all falling over. Yeah, well, he wrote a romance novel. He actually wrote a bunch of them. They all have one-word titles. It was a little bit tricky to go to the second word. So he wrote a bunch of them. In this one, he is a time-traveling... Well, he's not a Viking. He time-travels back to when there were Vikings. He plays, based off of himself, a Hollywood star. And somehow it gets caught in a wormhole. There isn't really an explanation for that. I don't think sci-fi people would be really into this book because it doesn't explain anything about the time travel. He's just suddenly back in the Viking time. And I have to read you the back cover of this one because it's Fabio. By the way, he didn't write this. Somebody else did. Amazon let you know that right away in case you were wondering you wanted his real words or not. But he did get his name on the cover, so that counts. Here's the back cover. Warrior woman, I cannot explain the powerful magic that carried me back across the centuries to you. In my own time, I am but an actor on the screen. Yet here I stand, curiously at home in a primitive age, a Viking Jarl, miraculously resurrected from the flames of oblivion. And you are my destiny, my wild and beautiful Valkyrie. You hide your pain and sadness behind a mask of scorn, but I have glimpsed your secret tenderness from the shadows and felt the radiant warmth of your love. And I must first conquer to have you, then conquer I shall, to win your reluctant heart now and for all eternity. I actually held that book at one point. I found a copy of it. I've since lost it. I think somebody took it. But anyways, I had it for a brief moment. But he's not the only one who writes about these kind of crazy things. Other people write about pirates. There's a lot of pirate romances. Time travel, that's another big one. Never explained. They just show up in another time. But I'm sure you all have heard of Outlander. I mean, that's the big time travel romance there. And then Cavemen, which if you're looking for your alpha shirtless men who don't speak very much, Cavemen. Cavemen. It's very popular. I was debating whether or not to tell you that. I think I will. All right. So I found this book one time on this review site that I follow, and it was under the category of what not to write. And it was a vampire caveman romance. I didn't read the book, so I'm still confused about what it's about. The title is Eat, Pray, Love, though, in case you're wondering. Yeah, it's a real thing. And it uses, the reason they were writing about it on this site was because it uses the term cave spooge. Yep. Yeah, it's exactly what you think it is. They said this is just not, it's just not sexy, so I don't know why somebody wrote this and then got it published and people read it. But I don't have as much to say about these because I really want to talk about shifters. So let's talk about some shifters. Probably all, I mean, we all know the werewolves, but like werewolves, those are pretty blasé in romance at this point. Like you write about a werewolf, it's like, oh, that's been done. We're going to talk about some other animals that these heroes and heroines shift into. And first of all, we've got our lions, tigers, and bears. I didn't do this intentionally. I noticed this afterwards. I was really excited about that. Tiger shifters, actually all big cats are very popular. Pumas, lions, panthers, all a big deal. Bear shifters are also a thing. There's a whole rabbit hole you can go down to on the shifter category. And I really don't like them, though. And it's not because they're shifters or because I'm sick of werewolves or anything. It's because all of their heroines, all of their plot lines are exactly the same. It doesn't matter what animal they shift into. They tend to be the same. They tend to have some sort of like clan that they then need to find a mate for. And she's always a busty, curvy lady. They always are. That's it. Like, this is the only place where the busty, curvy ladies show up anymore is in the shifter romance. It's just a weird dynamic there. But I do like reading the reviews of them. And that's where it's really exciting. For example, this next one, which I just could not get enough of, it's called Bite Me. As you can tell by the cover, he's a tiger shifter. But it gets better. She's a honey badger shifter. Yeah. She turns into a honey badger. And the main plot line, their main relationship tension, is that she somehow ends up at his house. I was very unclear about that, but she somehow ends up living in his house, and she eats all his honey. And that's their tension. He doesn't like it. He wanted his honey. She ate it. You know, like, it's relationship building here. And then there's such ones as this. This is the Orca King. He shifts into an orca. He's a chief, and he's been around for 600 years, and he's been looking for his mate this entire time. He finally finds her, but she's not an orca shifter, so, there's a sequel to it, too. I'm just not sure how they resolve that. Maybe there's some magical power to make her a shifter as well. Yeah, it's a whale of a story. Yep. there's also, the huge age difference that no one seems to be... Anyways, we'll move on from that one. This last one I actually just found, and I was so excited I found it. The trunk and a skunk. Yep. The one is a elephant shifter. The other one's a skunk shifter. Oh, yeah. And they're in a circus. So I don't know where to get this book yet, but I will figure that out. That's my next goal in life. So we're going to move away from shifters a little bit, because in addition to shifters, people who change into animals, we have the interspecies romance. And this is humans and other things, specifically dinosaurs. This is the first one I found. I found the review of it. I would first like to point out that is not how big a Triceratops is. Triceratops is like this big, and she, you know, full size. Ravaged by a Triceratops, she gets kidnapped by a clan of Triceratops because they're in a clan. You can probably guess the rest. It's not very long. I don't recommend reading it. Actually, the review that I said, or that I read of it, was, I read this so you don't have to. You're welcome. Yeah, that tends to be the dino-human romance, reaction, is that I read this, I know about this, you don't need to now. But it's not just dinosaurs. We also have mermaids and humans. We also have centaurs, which there's, both the centaur-centaur thing, and then, the human-centaur thing. And then we have aliens, and aliens keep popping up in my mailbox all the time lately. And they're not humanoid aliens necessarily. They tend to be humanoid aliens that are somehow brightly colored or glowing from the inside. And inevitably there's some ritual where they need a human. They can't reproduce anymore. Their race is dying. So they have to go kidnap some women from Earth. And of course, she's our heroine. And it's not just women. Sometimes they kidnap men, too. And then it gets weird. They aren't always, as I said, they aren't always human. Sometimes there's, tentacles involved, and that's a whole other thing, and, I'm not going to go there. Aliens, it's the thing right now. But these interspecies romance bring up a man who... I like to think of him as the scourge of the romance world, but I also really enjoy that he is doing this at the same time. Both makes fun, but in a very kind of reverent way of romance novels. And that is Chuck Tingle. Yes! Yeah, yeah. So he's not the first person to write a dinosaur human romance novel, but he's the first person to make it very strange. Yeah, so... We have over here Professor T-Rex teaches me gayness. And on the other side, I'll get back to Space Raptor Butt Invasion in a minute. Chuck Tingle is a pseudonym. He's actually Dr. Chuck Tingle. His website's very strange. And the craziest part, his first books came out in 2014. And since then, he's written over 100. Okay? They come out fast. They are not well written. The covers and the titles are the best part of them. But they are very delightful covers and titles. So he began with the dinosaur human thing. He was capitalizing off of this. And then, swiftly moved on to unicorns and some classic monsters, like a Frankenstein one. And then he decided to start releasing ones that were very relevant, specifically politically relevant. And since he writes them so fast, they can come out like that, like immediately after it. But the big thing about Chuck Tingle, and the reason that some people have heard of him now, is that he was nominated for a Hugo Award last year. Yeah. I'm probably going to get the exact details wrong, but Hugo decided to do a more crowdsourcing way of nominations. And, of course, a group tried to undermine this and take this over. For whatever reason, and they nominated Chuck Tingle. People heard of him because he was nominated for a Hugo Award. For Space Raptor Butt Invasion. Unfortunately, he lost, but it also opened him up to write Pounded and Button by My Hugo Award Loss. Yeah. And then this is what I was talking about with the politically... the politically relevant ones here. For those of you who can't read this one, this is Pounded by the Pound, Turned Gay by the Social Implications of Britain Leaving the European Union, the Brexit. And so just the... That's Chuck Tingle, everyone. You can look him up. There's just so many funny ones. The other one that I first heard of with this kind of more political edge of his was when he wrote a book about the Starbucks Holiday Cup debacle. Yeah, apparently the Starbucks Holiday Cups are slightly humanoid, and they're also gay, and they're also into, group orgy things. It got weird. So I'll take a step back, and my final one to share with you tonight is the Playboy Chic's Virgin Stable Girl. And the reason I'm ending with this one is because this is a category romance that is so bad, it is good again. All right? And one of my favorite romance review people, she talks about this book all the time. She calls it the most crazy sauce thing she's ever read in her life. In fact, what she says was, I just have to draw your attention to a stunning read. It's so bad, it transcends the line between good and bad and becomes rather excellent. And the reason is, this author, so when you're a Harlequin category romance writer, you don't always get to choose what you write. Sometimes you get handed a series and you write the next book in the series. And that's what happened to Sharon Kendrick here. She was handed this book about this group of sheiks, and so she's like, all right, they're like, write the next one. And she did, but she didn't just write another ho-hum category romance that disappeared off the shelf within a few weeks. She went all in. She wrote the craziest thing she could think of, and this is her best-selling book. I mean, it was rated terribly. Like, it got the worst grade you could possibly do, and it is now like a cult fan following. I will read you a little quote to end on from the book itself. This is when our hero first arrives on the scene. Robes of pure silk clung to the hard sinews of his body, and as he approached, Eleni could see a face so forbidding that some deep-rooted fear made her wonder if he had the power to turn to dust all those who stood before him, and a face so inherently beautiful that it was as if all the desert flowers had bloomed at once. And then when he meets her, it's even better. Kalik glanced over at her, his antennae automatically alerted by the sound of a woman's voice. It was soft and soothing, he thought, like cool running water running through the oppressive and stuffy room. It was curiously fluent for a servant. His eyes narrowed, but he could not see whether she was plain or beautiful. Yep. So that's all I've got for you tonight. I hope you enjoyed. Thank you.